Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to catch up with Deacon Roger Hite. And when Deacon Roger joins us, we talk about cemeteries. We're going to talk about November and the month of remembering the dead. And we'll also talk about the diaconate program. Lots of wonderful things happening in each of those areas. So I hope you will stick around for that conversation. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Barb Buckmiller with the first and second reading. Father Sean Haggerty with the gospel.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. Resplendent and unfading is wisdom, and she is readily perceived by those who love her, and found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known in anticipation of their desire. Whoever watches for her at dawn shall not be disappointed, for he shall find her sitting at his gate. For taking thought of wisdom is the perfection of prudence, and whoever for her sake keeps vigil, shall quickly be free from care. Because she makes her own rounds, seeking those worthy of her, and graciously appears to them in the ways, and meets them with all solicitude. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, about those who have fallen asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest, who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, so too will God, through Jesus, bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Indeed, we tell you this, on the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will surely not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with a word of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, we will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, console one another with these words. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, members of the law enforcement and first responder communities recently attended the Blue Mass celebrated by Bishop Paul J. Swain at the Cathedral of St. Joseph in Sioux Falls. The Blue Mass offers prayer for all those in government who protect our society, including police, firefighters, first responders, and those who support their service. Bishop Swain also recently prayed and celebrated the traditional White Mass, also at the Cathedral of St. Joseph. The White Mass is a special opportunity, that is, to pray and give thanks for the men and women who serve our communities in the medical and healing professions. The Mass was celebrated this year, the White Mass, that is, in the Diocese of Sioux Falls on the feast day of St. Luke, believed to be a doctor himself and who serves as the patron of patients, doctors, nurses, staff, and all caregivers. You can read and see more about the Blue and White Masses in the November edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, in the 1500s, anti-Catholicism became popular in England with the Act of Supremacy in 1535, declaring the Crown of England as the only earthly head of the church in England, not the Pope. In 1593, the College of English Jesuits was established in St. Omer as a boarding school for Catholic families who could not practice their faith in England and Ireland. A century later, Maryland was established as a colony in America and a haven for Catholics facing persecution, in England and Ireland. With the repeal of the Tolerance Act in 1654, it became difficult or impossible for Catholics in the colonies to worship or gain education. Marylanders in the 1700s turned to St. Omer to form their sons in a classical Catholic education. A Maryland delegation joined hundreds of others in St. Omer recently to mark 275 years since the arrival of Daniel Carroll at the College of English Jesuits. Followed 6 years later by his brother John and cousin Charles, Daniel was one of only five people who signed both the Articles of Confederation and the U.S. Constitution. John became a priest and eventually the first Catholic bishop in the U.S. Charles was the only Catholic to sign the Declaration of Independence. Immigration advocates decried a Department of Homeland Security decision to end temporary protected status for 2,500 Nicaraguans who have been living in the United States for nearly 20 years. They also lamented during a call with reporters recently that Elaine Duke, acting Secretary of Homeland Security, put off a decision on TPS for 57,000 Hondurans for 6 months, saying more time was needed to determine if they could remain in the United States because of adverse social and economic conditions in their homeland. Randall P. McGrorty, Executive Director of Catholic Legal Services in the Archdiocese of Miami, said U.S. law is meant to be implemented with a certain degree of kindness and compassion, and that sending people to countries that are ill-prepared to welcome them would do far more harm than good. He called on policymakers in Congress and the administration of President Donald Trump to recognize the Nicaraguans, Hondurans, and other TPS holders as vibrant members of their parishes, neighborhoods, and workplaces. I think they deserve to have some sense of belonging, he said. It's a great excuse for a family reunion. The Caseys are going to Detroit. More than 300 relatives of Capuchin Franciscan Father Solanus Casey will visit the Motor City from as far away as California and Ireland to see the man many know as Uncle Barney come one step closer to sainthood. I'm looking forward to the beatification, but I'm also looking forward to spending time with relatives I've already met and some I've never met, Barbara Ledoux of Sacramento, California, said this week at the beatification mass at Ford Field. We're all going to be sharing our Solanus stories with each other. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
That's another great moment. I remember my dad was a big fan of Father Solanus for many years.
It's an exciting time.
Yeah, it's great. Swiss that whole family well. Nice to hear about that. Let's move on now to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Deacon Roger Height. We're going to talk about a couple of things, as we usually do when Deacon Roger joins us for the program. We're going to talk about cemeteries. We're going to talk about the diaconate program. It's the month of November, Deacon Roger. Let's start with that. We certainly, as Catholics, that's an important time for us. We try very purposefully to remember the dead.
Yes, Jerry, and it's really important. I think that as we go through our day and if we're driving around and we come to a cemetery, I always say the prayer of eternal rest, because we don't know what poor soul is needing that prayer to get from purgatory to heaven. And it's a grace on our part, and we're helping souls get to heaven. And there are so many that are probably forgotten in cemeteries. And it's important for us as we experience the cemetery to pray for those people.
I think our parishes, by and large, do a pretty good job of encouraging that during this month and reminding people of really our obligation. And it is, isn't it, our obligation?
It is. It's one of the corporal works of mercy to pray for the dead and to bury the dead. And we have this experience of knowing our own mortality, and probably becomes more real when you get into our age bracket,
yeah,
or at least my age bracket.
Well, I'm not far behind you, so.
And you know it, and you hope that there will be people praying for us. And you're right; our parishes that have cemeteries, it's a point of honor and pride for these communities to maintain their cemeteries. I can honestly say in the traveling I've done in the diocese, I've not come across a poorly maintained cemetery, even if it's way out in the country.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
all mowed, and the headstones in most cases are in good shape. And, you know, it's a wonderful way to honor those who've gone before us, or as the bishop often says, the foundation of our diocese.
It's our legacy of faith.
Yes.
Yeah, it's our legacy of faith. I think, you know, for most people, we think about these things primarily around Memorial Day, you know, around that time of year. But as Catholics, there is a real emphasis in this month of November. I think we start the month with All Saints and All Souls, and mm-hmm. that really tips us off in the right direction.
It does. And as we go through our year, we probably remember family and friends who have died, but November is really a month to remember all the people in the church, that living body of the faithful who have gone before us. And as you look at the parishes and look at their book of remembrances, always amazes me, even up until the last day of November, people are adding names to be prayed for.
And yeah.
It's a great gift we have.
It is. Absolutely a great gift, and a timely one. I always think the church is so clever about how it organizes the liturgical calendar, because the readings this time of year draw us deeper into that whole mystery of the end of life and mm-hmm. the end of time, if you will. And it's a perfect time to be doing this.
It is. And, you know, we're approaching the end of the church year, which doesn't correlate with the end of the calendar year. So it is. It is the church in its wisdom bringing all of that into focus.
Do you get a little concerned as we, you know, we, as by and large, we're a little concerned about the generations to come and whether they're going to remember to pray for us? I know I think about that, and I hope that this it's more than a tradition. It is an obligation, as you said. It's a corporal work of mercy, mm-hmm. and I hope people don't forget about that.
Well, it is a concern. You know, we talk about the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S, the people who have walked away from really any kind of faith, and you have a normal concern about that, and hopefully as they age and have experiences in their life, they turn back to the church and turn back to the faith in God. And it's something that it concerns me as I deal with my family members, who my brothers and sisters and their families, just try to be the witness that right. says, you know, there's more to life than accumulating all these things and going all these places, where does all that come from?
Mm-hmm.
And so, it is a concern, and I think as we look at our Catholic cemeteries and as we have opportunities to deal with people at the time of death, it's a great witness to bring them back and for them to experience the deep faith that surrounds them that maybe they don't see.
You wrote a nice little piece in the Bishop's Bulletin for the November, which I hope people have seen, really encouraging people to consider, you know, being buried properly, mm-hmm. Including the church in their plans. That's a good reminder as well, and I think maybe helps address some of what we're talking about.
Well, and you know, I mentioned in the article the lady that called me 10 years ago, how painful that was for her to not have her friend buried in the church mm-hmm. in the manner of faith that she lived in. And I still feel that pain.
Yeah.
I can think of many examples in my life where friends of mine who have left the church were not buried in the church, and some who came back. I just had an experience with my brother who died in December last year of coming back at the end of his life, and the comfort that brought to me mm-hmm. and to my family that he came back and recognize that there was something missing.
And so important to people understand, you can come back at any point. Mm-hmm. Jesus always welcomes you back.
Yep.
Always.
Always. And, you know, I think it's incumbent on us when a member of the church dies to be present to those families, not just the priest or the deacon, but the community as well. And to be able to say goodbye and to be able to pray for that person and to support the family. You know, Diane would, when we were living in Sturgis, would always go to funerals. And she always commented when her boss would say, well, why do you need time off to go to the funeral? Well, because I need to support the family mm-hmm. and pray for the person who died. What a great witness that is. And we desire that people enter eternal life. And we do that through our prayers and through our witness.
Yeah, absolutely so. We look for those signs of hope, and we're going to transition here to your work with the diaconate program, because I know there's all kinds of good signs and wonderful hope that you see with with that whole program, with the guys that you're working with. Bring us up to date on kind of where we're at with the program right now.
Well, we have five men who were recently instituted as acolytes and hopefully will be ordained on May 24th of 2018, which, by the way, is the 50th anniversary of the permanent diaconate in the United States.
Wow.
So we've got 50 years under our belt. So we've got five men who have been in the program now for 3.5 years. And then starting in this last September, we had eight men who began what's called the aspirancy year. And I'm really excited about this class because we have people from all over the diocese. Seven of the men are from outside of the Sioux Falls area.
Wow.
And so that witness to go beyond the boundaries of Sioux Falls, I think, is important. And it shows, you know, I probably talked to about 40 men and their wives who were interested in the program. And through the process, we got it down to eight. But it just tells me that Holy Spirit is alive, that people are seeking more of God's presence in their life. And the permanent diaconate is certainly not for everyone, but God is calling me. I've already had five guys since September call me and are interested in the program, and I've talked to them. And to listen to their stories of God working in their life is just amazing. And it, for me, it's just a great gift.
Yeah. And that they keep coming is kind of a good, I know that's been a really important aspect of your work is to reach out to all corners of the diocese. And grateful to hear that that's paying dividends.
Yeah, it is, Jerry. And, you know, it was a specific target for this class was that we wanted to go out in, you know, we have two men from Pierre and we have a man from Aberdeen, one from Dakota Dunes, well, Jefferson. So it is Chamberlain. So we've got men who are interested in the Holy Spirit is stirring them up. And I'd like to thank the pastors for their support and also the people in the community, you know, the people that are going through the program. We just had class on Sunday and Saturday and Sunday. And one of the comments was, I can't believe how the people are coming up and saying how they've been praying for me for 3 years. That's just a wonderful acknowledgement of the spirit of faith that's alive in all the people.
Yeah. What a teaching moment it is for a community to have somebody in the program. They learn all kinds of things that they probably didn't know they were going to learn.
Yes, and to be able to share it, you know, again, it comes back to the stories, the stories of outreach that they're able to do. And, you know, we talk that we want the deacons out in the secular world, out in the workplace, and being able to witness to the love that God has, not only for them, but also for the other people, being able to touch them and say, you know, Jesus always wants you back if you've strayed for one reason or another. And it's not only these men in the permanent diaconate, but as a diocese, we require the wives to go through. And they're out there witnessing and evangelizing as well. It's just that the men have the sacrament of orders, the grace of the sacrament of orders with them. So I could go on for hours about this, but it's really a great blessing.
Yeah. And the guys that are scheduled to be ordained in May, they're from a variety of places as well.
Well, actually, three of them are from Sioux Falls, and one from Chamberlain, and
one from Garrettson.
Garrettson. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we've got a good cross section of men. No, not Garrettson. Chamberlain, and boy, my mind just went blank.
Well, it'll come back to you. But they're scheduled to be ordained come this spring, and then they'll be out doing their thing in their parishes.
You know, the exciting thing again is that, you know, we all come with certain talents and gifts, and we're not all doing the same thing. And that's been a real, real blessing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you've been doing this program now for a few years. Do you still get energy from it? Obviously,
I do. It's just exciting for me to see the growth and the understanding and how the Spirit works in their life and in my life, because it causes me to refocus and rethink. And even Dr. Bergwald can teach me things that I didn't know.
A frequent guest on Catholic Views, so people will recognize that name.
Yeah.
That's good. And then you mentioned something that I do want to spend a little bit of time talking about, and that is that we're approaching the 50th anniversary of the reinstitution of the permanent diaconate program. This is actually a very ancient thing in the church. Mm-hmm. Deacons were... if we read the scriptures, read the Acts of the Apostles, we hear about deacons.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an ancient thing, reinstituted after the Second Vatican Council or as part of the Second Vatican Council. Yeah.
Yes, and again, it was, you know, to have that outreach that the bishops in the United States laid out five principles that they wanted as reasons for the permanent diaconate to be reestablished. One of them, of course, was the need to have support for the priests, both in the rural and the urban areas. And the second reason was, again, to have holy men in the secular environment, in the world, to be able to show that you can be a holy person and live in the world, that's not a contradiction. And so a very important part of the ministry of the deacon. You know, I think right now there's 18,500 deacons in the United States. We have the largest concentration of deacons of any country. And in fact, our 50th anniversary is going to be held in New Orleans this year. And it should be an opportunity. I'm always amazed by the stories that come whenever you get a group of deacons and their wives together to talk about how God's working in their life.
Yeah, and you get that many people together, you're going to have a lot of stories.
Yes, you have to stay up all night.
you might have to stay up all night. Are there other things either in this? Now, our diocese didn't start right away. I think we started just a few years later.
Right. I think the longest serving deacon currently is Deacon Jim
Walden
mm-hmm. at Christ the King, and his formation was a little different than what we have today, but I think Deacon Jim served many years at the penitentiary. And
As a chaplain. Yeah, not an inmate, as a chaplain.
As a chaplain, yes.
Yeah.
And I think he's right at 41 years now, 40 or 41 years as a deacon. Father Joe Holzhauser Holtzman, mm-hmm. Jerry Holtzman.
Father Jerry Holtzman.
Father yep. Jerry Holtzman was the first director of the program. So
yeah.
He still comes with Father Holtzman, is on our deacon retreat every year, and it's a great blessing to have him with us.
Yeah. So, again, in this diocese, the tradition goes back not quite all the way, but almost all the way to the beginning of the reinstitution 50 years ago. But lots of great blessings, lots of great men that have and women who have mm-hmm. Walked by the sides of the deacons through those years, and I think had real impact in our diocese.
They have, and it's continuing to evolve. You know, 50 years in the church is not a very long time.
Right.
And I thought of where the other man is from, Big Stone City.
I knew
I'd hear from him if I didn't mention that.
Good. Good. I'm glad you did that. events to commemorate the 50th? Will there be some things going on within the diocese as well?
Well, we're talking about it. We're in the initial stages of talking about some events that we can do. Probably going to do one on a diocesan level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what that is at this point. And hopefully some of the parishes will be doing some local things to not necessarily recognize the diaconate, but acknowledge the support that they have for the men and their wives. Because we all, most of us, serve as volunteers.
Right.
And, you know, I think I just had a, if I can share just one story.
You bet.
Every time I assist at Mass when they do the bishop's bulletin or the bishop's stational Mass, I get a call from somebody West River. And the last time I was on in October, I told Diane, we didn't get a call this time. Well, that night, a lady called, and 19 years ago, I presided at the funeral of her grandson, who was 18 months old and died suddenly. And she said, I saw you. I'm not Catholic. She said, I saw you on TV. I just had to find out where you were and how you were doing.
Wow.
It's those kinds of blessings and graces that you receive that just say, what an amazing God we have.
Yeah, yeah. And saying yes to a call can make all the difference.
That's right.
And that might be the diaconate, might be to something else. But just to stay open to that call is pretty important, isn't it?
Yes. And I met with a young couple last night, and that was what I said. Take the first step, then take the next step.
Yeah.
If God wants you here, He'll open the doors.
Yeah. Amen. Deacon Roger, always good to catch up with you and see what's going on. If people are interested, they want to know more, what's the best way to reach you?
They can reach me here at the Chancery, 988-3715, or the website. They can contact me through that.
Yep. Emails are on the website. You can look up Deacon Roger on there. Thanks again for being with us this morning on Catholic Views.
Thank you, Jerry.
Gene, we got a few seconds left this morning, and guess what? We're gonna tease a couple of upcoming shows. That's that we're going to do for Catholic Views. Christmas at Cathedral, you can get your tickets.
That's right. You wouldn't believe it, but the dates of the concerts are December 14th through the 17th. Tickets are already available, and they always sell out. So despite the fact that over the years they've added shows, you need to get your tickets and get them before they sell out.
You can get them online. You can also get them at Hy-Vee stores in Sioux Falls. And then the other issue is adoption. We're going to talk about that. It's a National Adoption Month, so we want to talk about that in a couple of weeks as well. That's our time for this morning, though. Please join us again next Sunday.